today's message, I have a little short message for you. And that you're sitting under this English. I think this is the first one because the last one we went to do it, it just went all wacky. It just got, we just had to let God do what he had to do. But I think this is probably the first English. So hallelujah. The first full English, full worship. It will be full praying, full word, hallelujah. And we give you all the praise, Almighty God. God is good. I feel like God is doing something, you know, and I have this expectation in my spirit. Even in the midst of the storm, God is still doing something. He's still working things out. He's still, you know, in the background. And sometimes you look back over your life and you say, well, where was God? You know, you may have cried out to God and you probably wondered, where was God? But he was carrying us. And that was the time he was carrying us, hallelujah. I love the part where it talks about there's only one set of footprints in the sand. You know, and that little story, you know, and that was the time when God was carrying us, hallelujah. And we give you praise. There's a wonderful scripture in Isaiah 52:12. And I think there is so much that we can learn from the Israelites, from the Hebrew nation. And yes, when they were doing good and they were doing what God wanted them to do, obeying his word and, you know, living the right life, nobody could touch them. They were untouchable. They were untouchable. But oftentimes, God gave them over to their enemies. And there was a time, like in this scripture, and it talks about that they were in exile. The Assyrians, they had taken them away. But I read this scripture where God says, I gave the Israelites for nothing, no charge to the other country that invaded them. He sold them off for nothing because he was so annoyed. God was so upset with Israel that he didn't even charge the Assyrians to do something for him to win the battle against the Israelites. But here they cry out to God again. The Israelites continue to seek God once more again. And God looks down at them with mercy. And in this scripture, God is telling them, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight. For the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. Now, I hope it says that. You have to do it in English. Hallelujah. It has to be your rear guard. But that's what God said it would be. He will be behind you, that when you go this time back, that God says, don't worry about these Assyrians chasing you. Don't worry about the enemy that's going to be coming up after you. He says, I will watch over what's behind you. All you have to do is keep going forward. Hallelujah. 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 Well, this is the scripture, Isaiah 52:12. And it says that the God of Israel will be your rear guard. And that word today, God is watching your back. You know, some people panic in prayer. You know, I don't go to God in panic mode, panicking over prayer, because I know God has got my back. And sometimes I don't pray about something. I just leave it in God. Because when God has your back, somebody could be praying in the spirit in another country for you. God has got them, the Holy Spirit has got them praying for you in the speaking in tongues, even in another land. That's how much God has your back. And God sought the Israelites, but now he was bringing them back. And he was going to be their rear guard. He was going to be the one that would fight for them. And in Ephesians, you know, chapter 6, it talks about how God, Paul was talking about, you know, the armor of God. You know, the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and your shoes ready to preach the gospel, ready to go, and the sword of the spirit. And it had all of these weapons and all of this protection, but it didn't show nothing about the back. And everything was towards the front. You know, the only thing we could think about was the helmet, but even the back was the weakest part. But you never have to worry about your back, because God's got your back. God's, you know, because an army is never expected to retreat and run. They're always expected to go forward. And in that scripture, you know, God is telling the church that he has us. He has our back. He's standing behind us. The whole of heaven is standing behind us. I believe that the angels of heaven, that there's a praise are watching over us. I believe that God sends the help. Even when we don't pray, I still believe that the help is there, that God is working all things out for our good because we love God and have been called according to his purpose. I believe in that scripture. And God will send you help when you need it, even sometimes when you don't know it. He will send you the help. And one of the things that God sends you in the church, one of the greatest helps that you're going to have in the church is a prayer partner. If you have a prayer partner, that is one of the most powerful things and the biggest blessing that you will have in the church. And you would be surprised that very few people actually have a proper prayer partner in the church. In many churches, yes, people pray together, but not someone that stands with you, not someone that, yeah, it's a blessing to have that. But a lot of people don't really have that. There are very few that have that connection with somebody that they can pray for anything together. And the Bible says, if two of us agree on anything on earth, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. And the power of praying together is God backing us up with somebody that has our back, and God has our back. Hallelujah. Jesus said that he sent them out two by two. There was a reason why God sent them out two by two, because there is power when you go out in the two by two. I love this scripture, and it talks about exponential anointing. Exponential anointing is when you come together with someone, one of you can put aside 1,000, but two, it says 10,000. In Deuteronomy 32:30, hopefully we have this in English, hallelujah, if we can possibly get this. Sorry, Marius, we're putting you under pressure. We got the fifth of Moses. Okay. We still haven't got a pure English yet, but we're going to get one. Hallelujah. So it says here, one will put aside 1,000 and two 10,000. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exponential anointing. So if one, anybody who does maths, who's good at maths, if one, now you're all smiling. Come on, Rob, are you good at maths? I'm going to ask you a question now. Stefan, are you good at maths? Anyone that's really good at mathematician here? So one will put aside 1,000, two, 10,000, three. Oh, but you know what? We don't know because it's exponential. And this is the power that comes when we come together. When you have really got a partner, Jesus sent them out two by two. And when they came back, they said, even the demons submit to us. Even the demons. And there is exponential anointing power when you truly link up with someone. Hallelujah. And how is this possible? Even in Leviticus 26:8, it says, 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. And your enemies will fall by the sword before you. And this, again, is the exponential anointing that you will have on your life as you gather together in unity with somebody or even the church. Hallelujah. Exponential, we give you glory. And this is why when God wanted Gideon, he called Gideon, and all 32,000 Israelites went up for battle. 32,000. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 32,000 went up to battle. And God says, well, there's way too many. So he said, whoever wants to go home can go home. And I think 20-something thousand went home. And there was about 10,000 left. And God said, there's still too many. And you know the story about Gideon, how, you know, out of that 10,000, there was only 300 left. But when you think about it, you see, exponential anointing. God didn't need a vast number, but he needed a group of people that was unified. And as long as they were unified, this exponential anointing that operated upon them scattered thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them because of this unity. This is a powerful anointing when you come together. That's why Saul was able to prophesy when he came into the company of prophets. There was this exponential anointing that he began to prophesy, even though he wasn't a prophet. Because he came into the company and the anointing works. You know, whether it be prophecy or whether it be war or whatever in the Bible, it works. The anointing is the empowerment of God. And we see the story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, how they went into an agreement, an ungodly agreement. And with this ungodly agreement, they went to war against Ramoth. And what happened there, Ahab was trying to fool Jehoshaphat. These were the two kings of the two kingdoms, the north and south. And what happened was Ahab, you know, tried to, you know, get Jehoshaphat to wear his royal clothes so that he would stand out in the battle and that the armies would go for him. But yet he cried out. He made a terrible mistake because he went against the prophet Micaiah. He went against the words of the prophet. He knew he shouldn't have got into battle. But yet, even though he disobeyed the word of the Lord from Micaiah the prophet, even though Jehoshaphat went into an ungodly relationship with Ahab, because Jehoshaphat was a good king and he had good standing with God, when he went to battle and the armies were coming to kill him, he cried out to God and God had his back. God stepped into the situation, even though he disobeyed his word, because God knew that there was something good about Jehoshaphat. He knew that Ahab was a bad king, and Ahab died in the battlefield that day. A stray arrow went up into the sky and hit Ahab on his chariot. By chance. Was that by chance? Absolutely not. Hallelujah. So the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. There are some battles that you're just going to have to give unto God. Just like Jehoshaphat again, when three armies came against him. He had no time to prepare, no time to get his soldiers ready. But what he did was that he got the praisers first, he got the worshipers first, and they went out. And they didn't have to fight or lift one finger to fight any person. They only had to go out and pick up the 3 days' plunder because God had fought the battle for them. So sometimes we try too hard to fight and win the battle. You have to understand that God is behind you. Look at Daniel. I love this story about Daniel. It says that the angel Gabriel came and visited Daniel in a vision. And Daniel was praying and fasting for 21 days. And we see the story how when he began to pray, it says the prince of Persia held up the angel Gabriel so he couldn't come to Daniel. And it says then that Michael came, the archangel Michael came to help Gabriel fight the prince of Persia and Greece so that Gabriel could be released to give the word to Daniel. But you see how God sent backup even for the angels. They had backup. Even Michael, the great warring angel, came to back up Gabriel. So we should be rest assured to know that God is not going to leave us by ourselves. Hallelujah. God is not going to leave us out there, you know, without some help coming our way when we walk uprightly before God. There was a woman caught in the act of adultery in the Bible. And the man wasn't there. It said that the man and the woman should be stoned to death. And what happened was that it says that they had the woman, they were about to stone her to death, and Jesus began to write on the ground. And Jesus said to all of them, he says, "You who is without sin, cast the first stone." But even a woman that was caught in adultery, Jesus had her back. Jesus was not going to allow this one woman, even though she deserved stoning according to the law. She deserved this, but Jesus had her back. Jesus stepped into the situation and helped this woman. And Jesus said to her, he says, "Where are your accusers? There are no more." And he said something very interesting. He says, "Go your way." And he said, "Sin no more, or else something worse will happen to you." But Jesus stepped into that situation. And even though the woman didn't deserve it, but Jesus still looked upon her with mercy. Hallelujah. I love the story about a blind man. And when Jesus went to heal the blind man, it says that the disciples were saying, "Well, who sinned, him or his parents?" And Jesus says, "Neither. This is there to reveal the glory of God, to show, to demonstrate the glory of God." And it says then that this man, because he was healed, you know, the religionists, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they wanted to See who healed you. And he began to stand up for Jesus. And even though his parents of the blind man were in the temple, they refused to give an account of who healed him. They actually said to the Sadducees or the religionists, they said that he is of age, he can answer for himself. They were in fear of being thrown out of the temple. But then this man that was now, he was able to see. And again, they began to question him. But something rose up inside this blind, the man that was blind. And he said to them, why, do you want to be a follower of him as well? And it says that this man stood up against these people. And they actually threw him out of the temple. But it said that Jesus heard about this. And Jesus came looking for him. You see, the thing is, when you stand up for Jesus, he will come looking for you. He will stand up for you. When you stand up, just like we're out there today, we're standing up for Jesus out in the streets. Jesus is there with us, and he watches over us. I love the story of Jeremiah, another beautiful story, a young man. He was too young in his own mind to be called by God, to be used by God. He was a young man that was scared to be used by God. He didn't see himself as material that God could use. And God says to him, don't be terrified of them. He says, I'm going to make you a pillar of bronze. I'm going to make you an iron wall, a fortified city. He said, don't be terrified of them. Be terrified of me. And God sent Jeremiah out to a stubborn, rebellious people. But he still, God kept him. And Jeremiah was thrown one time into a cistern. And it says that his feet, when he got put into this system, that his feet went into the ground. It sunk. It was wet mud. But after Zedekiah, who was the king, taken away, God sent somebody to look for Jeremiah. God didn't leave Jeremiah in the pit, in the cistern, in the mud. And it says that people went to go get Jeremiah. And when they lowered the rope down, they put these, like, soft cushions kind of under him, so when they pulled him up, they wouldn't harm him. You see, God can pull you out of something without exit wounds. Without exit wounds. Without, you know, like sometimes you leave something and there's a lot of chaos. But God can do something smoothly to take you out of the mud or out of a desperate situation. You know, Jeremiah did not know what was going to happen to him. He was still waiting on God, and he was in a bad place, but God had his back, and God has your back. And this message I want to speak over every person that's here today, God has your back. We see this in Elijah when he challenged 400 prophets. There was two offerings, and he said, the prophets were to call, the false prophets, call upon your God all day. They were beating themselves, slashing themselves, calling on God. And then Elijah said, okay, it's my turn. And he said, let's throw some water over this offering to make it even harder. But yet God sent a fire, licked up the water, burnt the offering, and those 400 prophets were stoned and killed. God backed up Elijah. He backed up Elijah even when Elijah ran from Jezebel. And it says that he had no food, and God sent him a hamburger. He sent him McDonald's. He sent him flesh and bread all the way out in the ravine. God had his back. And this message is for you to know that God has your back regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what you're doing. Can you imagine that Moses and all the people were leaving Egypt? They had all the plunder. And next thing they're at the Red Sea and they see the armies coming against them. They see the Egyptians and they were coming to kill them. They were coming for revenge. They had lost their first sons, and now they had lost all their gold, their treasure had been given to the Israelites. But what did Moses say? Did he say panic? Did he say run to the hills? No, he said, stand still and see the salvation of our God. He didn't put the men in front of the women and the women in front of the kids. No, he said, stand still. And we see how God opened up the Red Sea, and he gave them a way out. God made a way out because God was with them. And God is with you. We see the power of fellowship in prayer. We see Peter this is a wonderful scripture in Acts, a unified church, the power of a real, and I'm not on about fake unity. There's a lot of fake unity in the church. Let's be real. But if you have a real church with real unity, this is very powerful. These are the things that happen. In Acts 12:11, it says, okay, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. Now, here's the story that Herod was going around wanting to get all the Christians, kill them. He had just killed James. But yet Peter now, he was put in prison because it was the time of the Passover. So he couldn't kill Peter. So he was out to get him the next day. But God sent a supernatural, life-changing experience to Peter. Sent an angel to open up the doors of the jail and to bring Peter out. And then the very church that were there praying, the unified church, a real unified church, all together in unity, they're praying for Peter. They were praying specifically for Peter's release. And then Peter came knocking on the door. That's what God will do. You see the power, that exponential anointing power, when people come together in unity, supernatural things will happen. This is the difference. God is sending help. And God is sending backup. God will help you in the situation. He helped the four lepers when they didn't know whether to go into the Armenian camp or go into the Samarian camp. They just said, if we stay here, we're going to die. But the prophet, spoke. He said, tomorrow there's going to be a change. Tomorrow, God is going to completely turn everything around. But the king did not believe this word from the prophet. But God had a plan, and God was backing up Israel. God was going to destroy the Arameans. And they left their camp and they ran, thinking that they heard an army coming. But there was no army. The Israelites were in the siege in Samaria, that they had no food. They were starving to death almost. But God sent, his warring army to destroy the enemy. And they didn't have to do a thing. And everything happened the way the angel said. The Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. So it's not just about if the angel of God encamps around. It's all around. It's like a hedge of protection. And that hedge of protection Job had. Job, nobody could touch Job. Even Satan says, because you have a hedge of protection around him. Satan knew he had a hedge. Because he couldn't be touched. He was untouchable as long as he was walking uprightly before God. And only because God says, you can test him, but you cannot take his life. And God restored his life. God used his situation knowing that Job would not back down. Job would not give in to the enemy. Even though the enemy took everything from him, God still gave it back. Hallelujah. So I wanted to share this with you today because it's important for you to know that there are some things that you're going to challenge you with, but you have to trust in God to know that he is behind you, whether you feel it or not. One of the things that the Holy Spirit says, it says in John 14, 16 to 18, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So God has given us the Holy Spirit as a backup. God has given your immune system into your body as a backup. That's what our immune system is. It's a thing that fights for us. So why did God give us an immune system if he didn't expect there to be diseases and sicknesses and bacteria and viruses? Why did God put that on the inside of us? Because it would fight for us. He knew our bodies would be weak. But God has given our Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us, to help us. That's why you can pray in the Spirit and you're helping somebody else in another part of the world. That's why praying in the Spirit is a powerful weapon that God gives us. But you have to have a prayer partner. You have to find that prayer partner that you're constantly in prayer with, that's constantly fighting for you in spiritual warfare and all of these things. When you have that person and you have that church, that unity in that church, supernatural things happen. Supernatural things happen. And I just want to share this with you. I said, whoever comes, comes. Whoever doesn't come, doesn't come. But this word is over your life. And Annette, that's why you have so much battles. I think you've been fighting. Have you ever had a time where you're not fighting something? It's like you're constantly in a fight. You know, because, and that's why the enemy, he does everything he can to discourage you and to, you know, to keep you from, you know, trying to keep you out of God's presence, trying to keep you busy, keep you, you know, moving. You are like one of these flies that you just cannot hit. You know, one of those that when you go to hit it, it's just somewhere else because you're always moving. But I felt like God is going to give you a time of rest, real rest just for you. A time where, like a Sabbath season for you. You know, when things will be so, all of this running around, all of this business, just a time when things will go so smooth for you. Because I feel like this fight, you're a fighter. You're one that won't back down. And you won't, and you know God's behind you. You know God's there with you. But I just feel to say to you tonight that the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And there are some battles that you don't have to fight. There are some things that you just have to say, God, I give this to you, that's it. And even things that you won't even have to pray for, they will automatically fall into place. Hallelujah.